Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. This podcast is to highlight the life and ministry of Asian American leaders and to network them for advancing God's kingdom in North Carolina and beyond. Today is the last episode with Pastor Jerry Cho. Thank you, Jerry, for doing the podcast with us for the last two episodes, and today is the last episode. So I'm very excited about your stories to be to be unpacked for this podcast.
Thank you.
So today, we want to hear more about your future visions for Asian Americans. So today is more of a futuristic conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are you futuristic?
I guess so.
That's good. All right. So my first question is, what is the major role for Asian Americans for the Great Commission?
I don't think there is a major role or a minor role, right? But I think there is one role. And I think that role we play for the Great Commission is to make Jesus' disciples and to be the witnesses of the gospel wherever we find ourselves in. And Asian Americans find themselves in the 21st century America, right? Where everything is just crazy and chaotic. And to make disciples of Jesus in the 21st century America, I believe we need to earn trust from our audience. And earning trust takes time. And there is no easy way around it, right? So I know that we can get very practical, right? And very goal-oriented and very driven at the same time. But I think it's healthy for us to take a moment and just work on being authentic, right? Ask ourselves, what does it mean to be a Christ follower, right? And what does it mean to witness the gospel to the world, right, where the gospel is foreign to them? And how do we love God and how do we love our neighbors? Am I paying attention to my family, to my next door neighbor? And how do I treat strangers? Do I care more about my own interests than the interests of others? You know, and how do I treat my enemies? And all these questions are I think, worthy. They're very worthy and reflective questions, I think. And we need to ask them to ourselves regularly, to be more authentic in order to earn trust so we can make disciples.
Right. Well, that's great. And that's a great commission, definitely. But what keeps the next generation, Asian American, from leaving that role?
I think we're very much goal-oriented, and we live in a very high-functioning society, and we forget to be authentic, and we forget to be genuine and trustworthy, and we need people who tell the next generation to just kind of calm down, right, and just trust the Lord and walk the long path of obedience, and we don't bring the Great Commission into reality, right? God's going to do that, but we need to trust Him. And just lay down our burdens and rejoice in Him only. And when we are more concerned about building and developing our own character and our own integrity and the welfares of others than our own, then God would indeed use our two fish and five loaves to feed thousands. Another concern I have about, you know, not just the next generation, but our generation, maybe the whole human race, especially in the 21st century, is that we tend to believe the path to happiness is perfecting our own agenda. Whatever makes me happy is, at the end of the day, the ultimate end. And we live to serve our own selves and not our neighbors, not our lords, just ourselves. We need to immediately discard that false belief as soon as possible. We don't live for our own agenda, right? We do not live to glorify ourselves. We live for the Lord, and we live to glorify the Lord. When we realize that sacrificing others so we can achieve our own selfish needs is the very obstacle that prevents us from reaching where God purposed us, then and only then will we be able to truly take a step toward living out what God has in store for us and for our generation.
Okay. That's good. Now, you work with a lot of young people. right? Yes. Youth yes. groups, and you work with the young adults. Mm-hmm. And so maybe you may be familiar with the terminology of millennials and mm-hmm. Gen X and mm-hmm. all of that. Now, do you see, I want to ask this way, do you see the potential of next generation, the younger generation, Gen X? Mm-hmm. And also, do you have a concern for this Gen X as well? So how would you address those things?
Okay, so what's the concern for the next generation?
Yeah, concern and potential.
And potential.
Yeah, potential, more positive potential.
Okay.
At the same time, more negative concern.
Okay. Yeah. I think the negative concern is, like I mentioned, they are all about pleasing themselves. Mm. And if it serves them, then it's good, mm. right? And if it doesn't serve them, it's not good, right? Therefore, that we have to destroy whatever that is for all, you know, for everything that costs. So I think that's my biggest concern. Like, they are very all they care about is themselves, and they don't even know that. Mm-hmm. But as I engage in conversations with them, and as I watch how they behave and how they interact with others, I see that it's all they think about. And you know what, in a way, media is sort of feeding mm-hmm. that desire as well, right? So if it pleases, you can do anything you want to be, you can be anything you want to be, you can do anything you want to do. And if you choose to do whatever and someone is trying to stop you, then you need to destroy that at all costs, right? You need to pursue your own happiness because that's what's going to matter the most. But that's a lie. That's a lie that we're just believing to be true. And I see that the younger generation, the next generation, is just infatuated by that dream, that false dream. So I'm very heartbroken whenever I see people sort of live, in that way. So that's my concern. Another concern is that they do have a genuine heart for community. Mm. Like, I really see that, and I think it's even more prevalent and even more intense than how I feel about community, right? Sometimes I see that their sense of, like, belonging, they're wanting to belong to a group, a community, is very intense. Mm-hmm. And that's what I noticed in them, and that's their biggest potential, I believe.
Mm. Okay, wow, that's great. Now, what kind of movement do you want to see among Asian Americans in North Carolina and beyond?
Just being authentic, right? Being authentic, living our ordinary lives with our extraordinary king in mind. Mm. Be a man and woman of character and integrity. I want to see Asian Americans study the word and obey it and teach it to others. Mm. And that's sort of the movement that I want to see happening in Asian Americans in NC.
Yeah, I like the phrase, living the ordinary life with extraordinary king in our heart,
yes.
In mind. That's right. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Now, what would be the first step for that movement to mm-hmm. take place?
I think the first step is always prayer. Mm. We'll never be able to achieve our reality without the power of prayer, right? So let's pray that God would raise up Asian American leaders who can live with a life of authenticity and integrity, and generously just sacrifice all that life of authenticity and integrity for the sake of the next generation. I mentioned that when I talked about the next generation, but I think we are also very selfish, mm. right? Our generation, we are also very selfish. We need to be less selfish, less caring about our own, but more about others, especially the needs of the next generation. Mm-hmm. So we don't just say it, but you need to do it yourself, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. First. And what is it? The world, the teacher of the world will say, do this, right? And they'll say it, but Jesus said, follow me, right? He actually showed us. Mm-hmm. So I think that's very strong teaching. Mm-hmm. So we need to implement that as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you see the great benefit to being as a minority in the United States or in Canada for the greater impact for the Great Commission. What would be the benefit being a minority?
Benefit of being a minority? Wow, I didn't know those two words can be used in the same sentence, benefit and minority. But the first thing that pops in my head is as a minority, you kind of understand what it means to be marginalized. Mm. And that's something that the majority people will never understand because like they're in the majority, right? Yeah. And being in the minority and being able to understand what it means to be marginalized is a great benefit in terms of being a disciple makers, because then you'll be able to develop compassion for the people, mm-hmm. and being able to relate to anybody. If you can relate to the most lowly, mm. then you can definitely relate to the most highly, I guess. Mm-hmm. You mentioned benefit. I think that's what it is.
Okay, yeah, that's great. I mean, USA and I think Canada at the same time, they're the countries who are receiving a lot of people from marginalized sociological aspects. So mm-hmm. I think there's a place, there's a room for minorities to reach out to them because we understand.
Yeah.
Right. Now, my last question is, how can majority churches, now they're not marginalized, they're not minority groups, but they want to, they also want to reach out to mm-hmm. minority groups, right? So how can they partner with minority churches like Korean churches or Vietnamese churches to fulfill the mission God has given?
Mm. I think we need to discuss how we can partner with other churches with much care and seriousness, mm-hmm. because I think many times we say that we need to partner with others, and but oftentimes we really don't know how, right? We really don't know how. Partnering with other churches cannot be event-oriented, mm. right? It's not just about sharing budgets together or donations. I think the first step toward building a long-term partnership with other churches, whether it's mainline majority churches or minority churches, is that it has to involve building trust, first and foremost. And we need to be willing to listen to others. Oftentimes we listen just so we can argue with them. You know, we listen not to understand, but to find reasons why we shouldn't be working in the first place, right? So if we choose to listen, so we can understand the other party, we should really open our ears with humility. So whether it's the majority church partnering with the minority church or whatever, I think both parties must listen and try to understand each other, not from their own perspective, but from the other's perspective, right? But honestly, I think neither party is interested in partnering with the other, and that's very sad. So how can different churches partner with other churches to fulfill the mission, right? This great mission that God has given us. I think first we must realize that God intends different churches, majority and minority churches, to work together, mm. right? That was the intention from the very beginning. Mm. So partnering with others, partnering with other churches is not an option. Mm. It's a mandatory, right? Mm. And once we realize that, knowing that, we must be willing to listen and then build trust in the long run. And I think that's where everything must start. Mm.
Thank you so much for sharing, Pastor Jerry. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. If you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.